It's Jenny and Bill with Simple Bath and Kitchen.
We know the world feels a little crazy sometimes, but your home, that should be your safe place.
A beautiful kitchen for your family, a bathroom that feels like your own private retreat.
At Simple Bath and Kitchen, we have a fine-tuned process that makes remodeling something that you can actually enjoy.
Because when everything outside is unpredictable,
your home should be exactly what you need it to be.
Visit us at simplebathandkitchen.com to regain your peace today.
We make it simple for you.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
All lies and jest, till the man hears what he wants to hear and disregards the rest.
Alan Buckley from the Irish Rock and Roll Museum Experience is with me in studio today to tell us about Simon and Garfunkel's Bridge Over Troubled Water. How are things?
Oh, things are magic, and we have a monster here today. This is.
I'm surprised we actually haven't talked about this before.
Well, that's fair. We have done a Paul Simon.
Oh, well, actually, that is true. Sorry, I forgot that.
And perhaps maybe in the advent of the career of Simon and Garfunkel, the career of Paul Simon somewhat overshadows it, despite the impact, and we will get into that. But yes, this was definitely one we were always going to get around to.
So we are talking first of all about That's the Boxer.
That is the Boxer. Now, again, this is, I mean, people will know this song. It's an absolute classic. I have to tell you that of all the songs on the actual album, this one took, are you bracing yourself, how long to record?
Oh, God.
100 hours in the studio for
100 hours,
uno
right.
song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why?
They are perfectionists up to the hilt. And we'll get into why perhaps Paul and Simon and Art Garfunkel aren't together anymore. Their creative process was so detailed and such attention to detail that they frequently could not really decide on when they had got the definitive track. This one took 3 different studios and 100 hours.
So, Bridge Over Troubled Water, what album is that?
It's actually, this is the thing, we often cover an album that, say, puts an artist on the map. This is their 5th and final album together, and it's 1970. It is easily their biggest hit, right? But they are not unsuccessful before this. They are already big stars. But by the time this one came out and they toured with it, the Simon and Garfunkel project was reaching its end. And dare I say, maybe perhaps some of the rigors of recording this album took a toll.
Did they realise while recording this album they were nearing the end?
Yes, no, 100%. And they had always had a turbulent relationship. What I will say is they're both men now, thankfully both still with us. They're both 84. They're born in 1941. They come from a Jewish neighborhood in New York. And a good few months ago, we would have covered the fabulous Billy Joel. And sometimes you get a sound, and particularly the theme of this song that we've just played is very much a lullaby to New York City as well.
This is my tune for the taking. Take it, don't turn away. I've been waiting all my life.
Oh, a song for the asking. And I'm so pleased with myself that in the last bit I finished with the word lullaby. Because that's exactly what this is.
Yeah.
It's
all very calm.
It's incredibly calm, which is why with the next track, and I'll come to that, we will mix it up a little bit. But this is Paul Simon being Paul Simon. He has a lyrical beauty to what he does, and his voice is very soothing. When I first heard Paul Simon, which would have been the Graceland album, probably when the first time I really became him, I was just deeply in love with this soothing, very melodic, musing voice. A man who sounds like he's almost like making the lyrics up as he's singing. And I can assure you that is not the case.
What music genre is this?
So let's talk a little bit about how they got together. And these are two Jewish kids whose families very much want them to be, you know, successful academically and all of that. So they meet in school. Mm. They are deeply enamored with a group called the Everly Brothers. Now, the Everly Brothers sang very harmonious. So when we talk about Simon and Garfunkel and their ability to harmonize with each other, this comes from early attempts when they were just kids, like early teens, trying to copy that sound of the Everly Brothers. Listeners will know the Everly Brothers. It's songs like Kathy's Clown, which is just an amazing song. I'll Do My Crying in the Rain. And I actually saw the Everly Brothers open for Simon and Garfunkel in the mid-2000s in the RDS. And it was very much the desire by Simon and Garfunkel to give the Everly Brothers that platform for a new audience again. So it's that sense that they were coming from, say, early rock and roll, but also with a deep love of folk. Cecilia. Now, I don't know if we should get into the character of Cecilia, because apparently he was in bed with Cecilia. He went to the bathroom, and by the time he came back, there was another man in the bed.
That's what the song's about.
Answers on a postcard. Yes, that is actually what the song is about. Now, the reason, of many reasons I've chosen it, it's a fantastic song, but it also gives us a little insight into the fact that Simon and Garfunkel are not just wistful navel gazers. They are capable of making a foot tapper, and this song is lovely, and it's upbeat, and it's one of those beautiful juxtapositions between the, you know, an up-tempo song, but a song that's really about heartbreak
and, as well, you know. How successful was this album, Alan?
How successful can albums be? It sold over 25 million copies. It's in the top 10 highest selling
albums. And how big were they in Ireland?
Huge. I mean, I mentioned briefly, there is a definite folk dimension to their music, and in terms of the folk revival, you know, led by people like Bob Dylan and Peter, Paul and Mary and Pete Seeger and things like that. These guys were definitely leaning into that. And of course, in Ireland, we were having, we recently covered the Dubliners. We had the ballad boom in Ireland. So this very much captured the mood of the Irish people as well.
Tell us about the musical makeup of this one.
I'd rather be a sparrow than a snail. Yes, I would. If I could, I surely would. I'd rather be a hammer than a nail. Yes, I would. If I only could, I surely would.
That is El Condor Pasa. And Andrea, another gear shift.
Yeah.
Because not only, it's soft and it's lyrical, but are we getting into, and this is kind of why I chose the song, are we getting into the early indications that Paul Simon would later drift into a deep love of world music, which we would see in his albums Graceland and The Rhythm of the Saints, which would be solo albums. But this is. I mean, we can hear panpipes here, you know. And how many artists would dare to go?
It's not a full or it's not an orchestra, though, is it?
Well, they would have. This is another song that took a while to record.
Yeah.
So it initially was very, very late, you know, stripped back, and then they did add extra instrumentation later on. As I said, I do think one of the reasons they broke up was they could never really agree when they had the thing. So if you want the short answer that they give, musical creative differences is why they split up. But this song is just, I mean, it comes out of the blue. It's something completely different.
It is very different to the rest of the album. Yeah. Bridge Over Troubled Water, your final song you've selected from the album, and obviously the title track as well today. Was that the most successful from this album?
It's a perfect song. It's a perfect song. And we've covered many artists here, and I probably didn't do Tracy Chapman justice when I didn't mention that I think Fast Car is just a perfect song. Mm. This is in that category as well. Paul Simon, I saw him, it was about 8 years ago, went with my mother to see him in the RDS. I've seen Paul and Simon and Garfunkel, and a deep, deep love was probably worst kept secret at this point. But what I will say is he gave a little speech about this song at the concert, and he I've heard him speak about it since. He said, I wrote the song, and then I went back and had another look at it, and he said to himself, I don't usually write this well.
Yeah.
And he realised...
He knew he was onto something.
It kind of broke his heart to give it to Art Garfunkel to sing. But he's since said that now he has reclaimed it and he does his own version. But the towering vocals of Art Garfunkel, and we haven't maybe spoken enough about him, an amazing singer. And he reaches all of the notes and gives this song such emotional power. I think it's just gorgeous.
It was after this was released, is that right? Is that when they split?
Yeah, this was their final hurrah. I'm not saying it was, you know, tape stops rolling and they went their separate ways, but it was the final death knell, and they would divide. Art Garfunkel would go and try and pursue a little bit of career in movie acting. Mm. He featured in a film called Catch 22. And Paul Simon would, I won't say he went into the wilderness, but his first couple of solo albums weren't massively successful. But by the time he hit Graceland in the middle of the 80s, Paul Simon has won 16 Grammy Awards.
Unbelievable. And as a duo?
As a duo, they have, I think it's 2021 or 2020 as a duo. The album itself won 6 Grammys.
Unbelievable. Well, we're going to leave you with Bridge Over Troubled Water from the album, Simon and Garfunkel's Bridge Over Troubled Water as well. Alan Buckley from the Irish Rock and Roll Museum Experience. Thanks a million, as always, for joining us on Lunchtime Live.
Ceylon Silverbird.
I'll take your part. Oh, when darkness comes and pain is all around, like a bridge over troubled water, I will lay me down.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.